about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
I can't take this any longer, being in one place all day. I would much rather be in one place in the morning than drive to a second place and then go back to the first place.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroe, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, social distancing and spontaneity.
I love that meme because when we first started not leaving the house in order to maintain social distancing during the pandemic, I think a lot of people felt very constrained. And it was liberating to recognize that actually on many days, it wasn't like you were spending time in that many different places. It was much more the idea that you couldn't go out if you wanted to, that it was,
absolutely,
it was the possibilities that were constrained more than the actual physical spaces themselves. And that your identity, therefore, was really being shaped, not by where you actually were, but by the beliefs about where you could be if you wanted to, regardless of what you actually chose to do.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked in previous shows about the difference between feeling like you can do something, even if you don't choose to do it, and how that sort of affects the way you feel about where you are, right? I mean, all of us have been in situations that are either momentarily or for a longer period of time, not very pleasant to be in. And many times we're able to sort of focus our attention and muddle through and get finished whatever we're trying to get finished. But that's a totally different feeling when you think you can't escape a particular situation. When you think, I have no alternatives, this is it. I'm in a much different place than if I think, well, this isn't very pleasant right now, but I could walk outside, but I'm going to stay here and finish this task, whatever it happens to be. It's a very interesting thing, because what you end up doing isn't really different. It's just knowing that you have an option that changes the feelings about the circumstances you find yourself in.
Of course, one of the things that's interesting too is to think about where the source of the next action that you take is coming from. So it's interesting that on the one hand, the knowledge that you have the agency to go and do something, whether you choose to do it or not, influences how you feel. But the other thing is there's a reverse bit of agency here too that plays a role, which is, if I'm stuck at home, then I am responsible for my own entertainment. The next thing that happens has to happen as a result of my own action, you know, or the actions of a small number of people that I might be surrounded with in my family situation. Whereas if I'm at work, then it's a much more dynamic environment in which there are a lot more happenstance things that can occur that then influence how I react to the day. And so I can be more reactive in many ways when I'm in a work situation, but when I'm in a home situation, there are a few things that I might have to react to, but an awful lot of what drives my day requires me to figure out what the next thing is. And I think that that's a difficult situation for a lot of people to be in. We don't want to have to be proactive all the time. It's a lot easier to be reactive, which is one of the reasons why people like to sit down at the end of the day and watch something on television, because now the TV gets to drive what you're thinking rather than you having to be proactively engaged in figuring out what you're going to do next.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of that is exacerbated by the fact that when you're sort of tied to a screen, for people who are working on computers at home, there's really an interesting difference when you're interacting, talking with the same people you would talk to if you were in a workspace or those kinds of things. But one of the things that we've talked about before about teaching classes this way is that what this obviates is the students' ability to interact with each other in an informal way. And I think, you know, what makes our lives interesting through the day isn't just the tasks that we're assigned or that we generate on our own and the things that we accomplish. It's all of the informal interactions we have with other people, even that might not involve conversation. I mean, it might be a smile in a hallway or so, and all of those spaces and those interactions that those spaces create affects how we feel about things. And I think architects understand this very well, right? Because one of the things that they work to do is to create spaces that match what the intentions and the desires are of the people who are going to operate in those spaces.
Yeah. You know, what's fascinating is we actually try as very hard to recreate those kinds of interactions, even in these virtual environments. So I've noticed, for example, I've been involved in a number of different Zoom meetings. And one of the things that's fascinating is the number of clear text chat streams that are going on in the background that mirror the person, the student sitting in a classroom, leaning over and making a snide comment to the person next to them. And so we found these ways to keep that going. The difference is there's a little bit less happenstance involved in those, because if you sit down, particularly say as a student in a large lecture class, you may or may not have chosen specifically to sit next to the people that you're sitting next to, and yet they become your comrades in the middle of class. Whereas if you're going to do this in a text-mediated way, you've actually got to do that only with your friends. So you don't get to expand your social circle. But it is interesting that we recreate those kinds of interactions. That need to make the snide comment is still fulfilled in some way.
Yeah, but I mean, even just not the comments that happen or might happen during a class. I mean, just the interactions that happen walking into a room and getting settled before everything officially starts. You know, I mean, those kinds of things remind us in many ways of how we're part of a larger community. And I think it gets back to what you're saying earlier, Art, about our being now more responsible for generating things that happen rather than being able to respond to things that happen.
There's a lot less spontaneity in it.
Yeah, it's much less spontaneous. It just doesn't happen in an environment where everything is much more ordered and put together as it is when we're doing stuff like we're doing right now.
Next week, we'll talk about illness and identity with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is usually our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio from my closet in Austin, Texas.